This is still the law. We're just starting to the law on mitzvah.
Okay.
You don't say anything you could cover, you could use for something is good as a vessel, unless the thing started as a vessel. But if you have stones or wood or something to this effect, pebbles, even if they're very useful to you, it doesn't help unless you would set them aside before Shabbos. You say, use this for this purpose, or for good, or you made an action to make it that way. So what we're basically saying is that you have these things, which are totally useless, you can't do anything with them at all. They can't be used for anything. And you have two ways to make them usable. Either thought, but the thought has to be strong thought, for good, or action. Now the one of the aspects in Chassidus, when we're talking about all these raw materials, is every person, all of us, we're all raw materials in some areas, in some things, we just have a hard time connecting, like moving to the Shabbos, represents the next world, like, this area is very hard for me to move, this area is very hard for me to move. So there's two real basic ways to change, even when it's difficult. Number one is thought. The thought has to be the Olam. Thought has to be like a really strong, you're thinking a lot about it. You think a lot about it. And you're thinking so much, you know, we know that Machshava, the beginning of Machshava. Machshava, Chashav Ma. Machshava has to come from a place where you really, really want things to change. You would be very highly focused on what he says about the power of mind. The person's mind can do anything. He speaks about visualization before anyone really discussed it. The Muslim especially goes very, very great when I talk to them. You picture something can happen. So you have to have a very strong Machshava. If you have a very strong Machshava, you can take this raw element out of being muktzah. It doesn't have to be muktzah. It can be good. Why should some part of me be muktzah? This character trait I don't have to use. This is not balanced. This is bad. That's problematic. This needs to be fixed. This needs to be tweaked. So you can do all that by focusing with a lot of power from machshava. Well, there's another way. There's maisa. Maisa, even just a little bit. And maisa does an awful lot. Acting. That's what the Nehemi Anach says, and quote another Sefer Musa as well. You spend 40 days acting opposite, including the Rambam, I don't know if you said 40 days, but acting opposite your inclination. What's difficult for you, you're going to fix it. It's the same thing. Sometimes when you act on something, that can change a bad attitude or a negative part of oneself. There's a story with Rav Salanter, it's pretty well known. There's quite a few, actually. Once there was Rishon Sfanta was in the train, and he was with someone who looked a little bit under pressure, a little stressed, and he smoked. Rishon Sfanta smoked his day, no one thought there was anything wrong with it. So he was smoking his pipe, whatever it was, so God knew exactly what. This guy said, "Ugh, smoking, my gosh, what's wrong with you? Don't you know people say to you, I'm so sorry, but the pipe, you open the window. It's freezing when you open the window, this guy, like, close the window, it's smoky." In short, this guy was not going to be happy, and he's letting people know, "I'm very unhappy, you should know, just for your information, in case you're wondering, I'm extremely unhappy, and miserable company, and I'd like you to be mine." That was basically his message. They get to the platform, and there's a whole crowd of people waiting for the great resource founder. And he felt terrible, this guy. He was like, "Wow, really, you know, I got... this is one of the biggest rabbis of our generation." He's one of the resource lanter was well known as a big, he wasn't just a Balmus, he was a very big guy, and one of the biggest geniuses and the most learned, erudite people in his generation. I mean, he was of the best. Anything you want to talk about, he knew it back and forth and sideways, any way you want. And there's a famous story where he was supposed to give a shiur. He'd give a shiur, and then he talked about the Musar, so he wanted to learn. And they switched the Maram Komos, the sources that he put up a week before so people should prepare, were switched, not to his knowledge. So when he came into the shul, he saw that everyone was preparing sources that he hadn't said to prepare. And he spent 2 minutes thinking, and then he gave a brilliant, as usual, 6-hour, whatever, I don't know what for, 6-hour lecture. And his students, Natalia asked him, said he wasn't preparing the lecture. Immediately giving a lecture from those sources was no problem. Didn't matter what it was. He was just thinking, should I do this? Because it's going to come out, and it's going to show like big gaiva. Or do I make Musa look bad because I don't know what I'm doing with special sources? He was like, what do I do here? Anyway, that was very slow slant. He was a very, very great person. So they came into him.
What time period?
1800s.
So this young man came. Said, "I'm so sorry. I feel bad. I insulted you. I didn't know." He said, "Oh, don't worry about that." He said, "Tell me, what have you been building for?" He said, "Well, I'm learning to be a shochet, and I'd like to get tested because my family's at home and they're, you know, they're very anxious. I mean, we need to make the parnasa. My father will support me forever long. I live on lochis, but this, but that." He said, "Oh, well, you have someone to stay?" "Not exactly." "They go to the room." He said, "No, stay with me. I have a place, please." He hired a room for him. And he sent him, he said, "You go, check with this and this person, he'll test you." They tested him, "That is no stuff." They're like, "No, he doesn't know his stuff." He said, "Oh, it's all good, you know, maybe I should have been tested right away, and maybe you review it, you know, long train ride, whatever." So he hired someone to teach him the halachas, and he taught him the halachas for a full month. And meanwhile, he had a position that was lined up for him if he gets his, you know, Kabbalah, or whatever it's supposed to be. And he's like, "What do I do now?" He's like, "No, no, no, I already arrived. I told them we're going to find you a position that's fitting, that's suitable for you. It's not this one, it's not okay, it's not enough money anyway." And he learned that carefully. And then he tested and did very well. And he sent him on his way, and he walked him to the train. He waved goodbye, he said, "Thank you so much." So his son of was like a witness to all this. He said, "You know, I wasn't aware that you were such a baltzaka. You know, you don't know this guy. You paid a fortune of money for him. And, you know, I'm in charge of the, you know, charity fund for orphans in this city, and I'd really like a donation." He said, "I can't give you a donation." He said, "I get money from people who are helping me. And my was a sham. I don't have the right to give a donation without asking them. You can ask them directly." He said, "Whoa, wait. You just supported this guy for a month. Without any way, find a position. And you paid for a teacher for him. There's a lot of money. I mean, whatever, relatively speaking. And that's you? What does that have to do with you?" So, "And you can't help, like, a few orphans, you can't give me like a half of that, a quarter of that? The people giving you money will give you as much as you ask for. You're not allowed, that's not okay?" He said, "Let me tell you what happened." He told him the story. He said, "I was very angry with this young man. I was furious. I felt a tremendous grudge. Now, feeling a grudge is bad for me. It's not good for me. And you're not allowed to feel a grudge against a fellow Jew. Anyway, besides being dead, Hashem says, 'No, I do it. Finish.' So I had to give him in order to get rid of my grudge. So I did an action, and the muksa part of me disappeared." That's what he says. It's the bechinah of something which is, it's a stone. It's not moved. There's no spiritual movement. It's weighing him down. He can't do anything with this. Even though theoretically, maybe it could be used for something, but unfortunately, it has a purpose very often. But I can't get there. I can't use it properly, so either I'm thinking very powerfully and changing it that way, or I do an action which is going to balance it out." That's the two possible ways of dealing with this halacha. I wonder if Yaakov Wolf is here. We'll come up and do a little more.